Go guzo. I didn't hear much there. Let's try it. Go guzo. Say that three times. Go guzo. Okay, that's the onomatopoeia word in the Greek for murmuring, for complaining. And for us to be transformed to the image of Jesus Christ means we've got to deal with our complaining spirits. And I think most of us have a problem with that. I know I do, so if I'm speaking for you, so be it. But Paul makes it very clear in Philippians, and I want to paraphrase Philippians 4:14. He says, stop second-guessing God. That's the reason we complain. Stop second-guessing God. Do everything without grumbling, that's the word, and complaining, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, shining like stars in the sky without fault, in a warped and crooked generation, holding firm the word of life. There are a number of marks of Christianity, number of things that we can turn to see if really we're being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Francis Schaeffer, in his book, The Mark of the Christian, said, by this shall all men know you, my disciples, because you love one another. Jesus spoke about that by our fruits, people will understand whether or not we are children of God. Paul's saying here something that's really quite tough. He's saying, if you want to demonstrate your commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord in your life, do everything without complaining. Ouch. And the reason that stands out in the world in which we live is because it's so counter-cultural. We live in a world that is basically negative toward all and everything. We live in this negative world. Kind of reminds me of the monk who entered a monastery with a vow of silence, but they were allowed every year to speak three words. And so the first year he was there, he said, food too cold. That was it. A year later, he said, bed too hard. And that was a little year later, he said, don't like here. And the abbot stood up and said, all you've done since you came here is complain, complain, complain. We can always find something negative. God wants us to turn toward the positive, because when we turn toward the positive, we don't second guess God. And that's so often the problem that we have. And addressing this problem, Jesus in Matthew 19 speaks to a question given by Peter. And Peter in chapter 9, he says, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. What then is in it for us? Lord, if we've left everything, what do we get out of it? And we pin down here a mercenary spirit. God, you owe me. You owe me better than the cards with which I've been dealt. God, you owe me. And Jesus addresses Peter's question in Matthew 20. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, feel free to do that. He speaks the parable of the workers in the vineyard. It's a parable about complaining. It's a parable about goguzo. The kingdom of heaven is like a landlord who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed, that word is key, because there was a negotiation going on for the amount that they wanted. It says that he agreed to pay them a denarius, a day's wage. And then he sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is right. And they went. And he went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And then about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing around all day long doing nothing? Because no one's hired us, they answered. And he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers, pay them their wages, beginning at the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who were hired first came, they expected to receive more. When they received a denarius, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men you hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made us equal to them. We have borne the burden of work in the heat of the day. The landowner answered them, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. If I want to give the man who worked last the same as what I gave you, that's my prerogative. I have a right to do what I want with my own money. Are you envious because I am generous? You have a landowner who has plenty of money. We have a landowner who has plenty of work to do. What precipitated the urgency of him getting all these workers, we don't really know. But it appears the harvest had to come in, whether there was a pending storm or something, whatever it was, he needed that work to be done. And time is the essence. He can't wait. And he has the resources that we see to pay many workers. Grace gives them the job. Faith causes them to take it. Bear that in mind. Grace gives them the job. Faith causes them to take it. We're servants of the living God. That applies to each and every one of us. It's by God's grace he calls us by our name and sends us to labor for him. And yet many of us trip up, get sidelined because somehow we think God isn't doing such a good job. He could be doing better. Kind of he owes me more than I get. I deserve more. And too many believers quit working in the vineyard of Jesus Christ for that reason. They're basically angry at God. God has sure messed up, didn't do what I expected him to do. And so we see with this first group the observation. They're looking at others and they're being paid a denarius that comes about from the observation and expectation. Well, we'll get more. Indignation follows when they find that, no, they didn't get more than those other laborers. And if I can use the word, there's a detonation. They really kind of mad at God at the end of the day, mad at the landowner who represents God. Do I have a right to maintain an attitude that says to God, you owe me more than you've given me? If that's the attitude I have, I need to ask the question, what do I really deserve in the first place? Apart from the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're destined and doomed to eternal damnation. That's what we deserve. And yet we complain and put our fist out at God and say we deserve better. Often coming from a human comparison. We see others that God is blessing and we wonder why we don't have the same. We think God has somehow shortchanged us. And their complaining wasn't against the other workers, it was against the landowner, the man who hired them in the first place. They deserved nothing. They received something. But they seem to complain about everything. I trust that's not true in our own lives today, and yet I think often we seek to validate our attitude before God by saying, God, you owe me more. Look at so-and-so, or look over there. Lord, we've left all to follow you, says Peter. What's in it for us? The thing that angered these workers was not the landowner's greed, but what angered them was his grace. It wasn't his greed, it was his grace that caused them to grumble and get upset. Can I continue to maintain an attitude that says to God, you owe me? The trouble with grumblers is that they're never satisfied. If I'm not happy or satisfied with what I have, I will never be satisfied with what I want. And many go through life wanting more. Some time ago, Daily Bread had a devotional by Dahan talking about an enough-o-meter. I like the concept behind that. Godliness with contentment is great gain, and yet many of us spend our time saying, I don't have enough. And it can apply to money, to time, to blessings from God. Lord, you owe me more than I've got. What does God owe me? And the fact is, Jesus goes on when he answers Peter's question to say, you're going to get more than you could ever imagine when Jesus Christ comes to call us home and to give out those rewards. Excuse me. I think if we're honest, though, we can feel some sympathy, maybe a little bit of empathy toward these workers. Hey, they worked 12 hours in the heat of the day, bearing the burden of the work. And they're getting the same as the other guy? You imagine Peter talking to the Lord and saying, hey, God, this guy Paul, do you know about him? Do you know what he did to your church? And you're blessing him as the apostle to the Gentiles? How dare you do that? I've been with you all this time. Can you imagine a conversation, Peter and the Lord, like that? It's kind of abhorrent. But let's be honest. Do we bring up other people to God and tell God how bad it is that he's blessed them and we feel left out? It's easy to do. I did it pretty well. Early ministry, my buddy and I started ministry at the same time, and he soared. He's running 200, I was running 35. Boy, was I mad. Mad at him, mad at God. Lord, what about me? I probably prayed more than he did. Don't tell anybody, but whatever. I don't know what excuses I gave, but hey, Lord, how dare you do that? Goguzo. Goguzo, goguzo. You want to be recognized as a child of God, holding forth the word of life in a wicked and perverse generation? Do all things without grumbling and completing and complaining. The fact of the matter is the landowner had done nothing wrong. He didn't deserve the complaint. As we mentioned earlier, this first group had negotiated for a denarius. They got that for which they negotiated. And when I negotiate with God, God will be true to me. He will give me what he promised, food and raiment. But don't really expect a lot more to come your way if that's your attitude. If you're in it for the blessing, you're in it for the wrong reason. God has called me not according to my works, but according to his purpose. My focus must be on his purpose, what he wants to do, what he's trying to do. The world says, look at production. God looks at my motive. The world says, what did you do? And God says, why did you do that? The world says, the bottom line is what counts. God said, did you really do it for me? The world says, show me your stuff. And God says, show me your heart. It's possible today that you have an attitude that's saying to God, basically, that's it, God. Don't expect me to give myself over to more ministry or to a greater commitment to your cause, because you really let me down. You shafted me. I have a lady I know who really put her heart and soul into a church, only to find the pastor was in an immoral relationship. And today I believe she still holds that grudge. God, I worked so hard for you, and the whole thing imploded. Nothing left of all my work. I can't have a mercenary spirit if I'm to live the transformed life, renewing my mind in that God's call on my life, his purpose that must predominate what I do and why I do it. Question, am I guilty of a mercenary spirit? A spirit that basically says, God, you owe me better than I've got today. And that's easy to do, folk. Been there, done that, okay? God, you owe me more. Kind of mad, God, that you're not blessing me the way you blessed other people. They failed to recognize God's sovereignty, had a mercenary spirit, failing to recognize God's doing stuff that we have no idea as to the outcome. We don't know what we've accomplished in ministry for Jesus Christ. We don't know what that lady did during those years in helping to change lives. We can't hold God to a standard that we don't even recognize, can't even see. There was a thing in the news the other day of a father who had his kids swimming in the ocean, and he had a drone above them checking them out, only to see a shark come up in the water toward them. And he drops his control and he's yelling and gets the kids out of the water. They're wondering what on earth dad's freaking out over. He had a very different perspective. You ever thought God maybe has a different perspective of your ministry today? And all of us are ministers in that we're called to serve the living God. God knows what he's doing. Let's leave those results to him and to his sovereign will. Let us not try to validate and maintain an attitude that says to God, somehow you shortchanged me. Because these folks, thirdly, not only did they have a mercenary spirit, not only did they have an unsubmissive spirit toward God's sovereignty, they also had an envious spirit. Looking at others, they compared themselves with others, and that's never a wise thing to do. Charging God that he shortchanged us because we think he's blessed somebody more than he's blessed us. Why are you working for God? Why were you in it to begin with? And I say we're all ministers called to serve the living God. The guys were talking, and a guy came up and introduced himself to the new guy, but the other guy knew him well, a good friend. He said, left, and the guy said to him, he said, you know that man? He's the CEO of the company. He said, yeah, we started the job together. He says, and you're still on the floor as a laborer, and he's the president, the CEO of the company? He said, yeah, I started working for $4.25 an hour. He started working for the company. And that kind of, puts together what we're trying to say today. If I'm working for this simple reward as a mercenary, that's all I'm going to get. But when I work for God and his glory and his kingdom, what a difference that makes. So what do I need to do? And I really would like to challenge us today to ask God's Spirit to search our hearts. Are you stuck in the rut of a mercenary spirit, failing to submit to God because you're envious about how maybe God's blessed others and kind of left you out? Maybe your gifting's not as great. Maybe you see someone else succeeding, getting more credit than they deserve for credit that you should get. And we're having it out with God, telling God somehow that he shortchanged us. Are you there today? Then I need to focus on the sin that I'm committing. I need to go to God with confession. Say, God, this kind of nails it, Lord. I've been working as a mercenary, failing to understand the great call that you placed upon my life, to be a servant of the living God, to represent you before this wicked and perverse generation. Lord, forgive me. Focus on his grace. What do you really deserve in the long run? Not a whole lot, folks. When we've done everything we should, Jesus in parable says we're just wicked servants at the end of the day. Even when we've done over and above what we expected. Are you willing to plod on in faithfulness? God somehow gets delight in plodders. Are you a plodder? Just kind of there with no major witness. Ministry seems perfunctory. And again, ministry not as a full-time pastor or missionary or worker. You're a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're called to represent him. And you're plodding and you're saying, God, what's the use? I've been praying for those people for 20, 30 years. Nothing's happening. Lord, show me your glory some way. And there's no glory, it seems. God delights in plodders. For at the end of the day, he'll say to them, well done, good, faithful servant. That's what we are, servants of the living God. Or are you going to stick with the attitude that says somehow God owes me more? That the bottom line, God isn't very just. Well, God's just. He's not fair as we count fairness. But he's always just. Are you like somebody, maybe a disciple, at the foot of the cross, and you overhear Jesus say to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise? Are you kidding me, God? Jesus, you're giving him paradise? He's hardly known you. He's done nothing for you. Look at my work. Look at what I've been doing these last 3 years as a disciple. We've forsaken all and followed you. And you dare give him the same reward? You see, that epitomizes the kind of attitude that I have. If somehow I'm saying, God, I deserve more than I've been given. God, you've been unfair, unjust in your dealing with another person. Are you willing to ask God for forgiveness, to confront the issue? Say, God, yeah, I've been holding out on you. Are you willing to focus on the purpose to which he's called you? His purpose, to represent him clearly. Are you willing to keep plodding along? Say, God, I don't know why I'm doing this or what on earth is happening here, but you are faithful. And you call me to that same faithfulness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive us, forgive me that we charge you with injustice. Somehow think we know more than you know. Lord, if the folks here who need to deal with you on issues, get back into service for the King.